Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Brian Kamenetsky of basically everywhere that you guys would find this podcast. You like every time that I always feel so stupid saying this.
I'm just around. I'm just a man of this realm.
I just feel so stupid every time I say, like, when I'm talking to you or Andy or Pete or like any number of guests that I've had on here before, like Howard Beck was on the show and I was like, all right, this is Howard Beck of Sports Illustrated, who you probably know already if you've heard this show before.
You know? Well, just, I mean, and if you haven't, I mean, I it is very kind of you to put me in the same space as Howard Beck.
That's how I legitimately hold you, because when I was growing up, it was like, all right, you guys had the Lakers blog at the LA Times, and that was way more entertaining to me than the regular Lakers coverage. So I was like, yeah, these guys are somebody that people should know about. So I always feel super awkward saying, like, yeah, this is Brian Kamenetsky of everything you should have been reading before you listen to me.
the resume is long. I basically, you know, Andy and I have been traveling around this space with, like, you know, a bandana on a stick, like hobos for a while now. So yeah, but I would imagine most of your of the listeners are at least somewhat familiar with the work we do. There are only so many Kamenetskys.
But the Lando Lakers pod is where you can find Brian and Andy, and their work is really good. So make sure you guys are checking them out. Today's show, we are going to discuss Andre Drummond, because that is a very hot topic. And it is something I don't think is going away anytime soon. It has a giant ripple effect, much like it would have if, like, Andre Drummond jumped into a pool. Giant ripples across.
He is an enormous human being.
He's like, so big.
I mean, I didn't. I'm not saying I've never watched Andre Drummond play. This is his ninth year in the league. I have. But, like, yeah. I didn't pay that close attention. He's been in the Eastern Conference, whatever. He is huge. He is a massive, massive, massive human being.
Yeah. So we're going to discuss his debut, the report from a little bit before his debut about him playing 30 minutes a night, which he played 14 minutes in the first half of his first game. And if you just do simple math, that would lead to a 28 minute game, had his toenail not fallen off. Mm. So I'm kind of curious about what that would even look like, what that would mean for the various centers across this very big Lakers roster. So that's going to be the first couple segments. And then, you know, from there, the Lakers have a really tough schedule ahead of them, especially given the kind of basketball they've been playing. And I have been a lot more optimistic for a few weeks now about their chances at not falling completely out of their current spot in the Western Conference. But it continues to get more and more dubious the longer that they continue to bang themselves up. So that's going to be the third segment. I want to start here, though, because Pete said something last night that I legitimately was not prepared for. He said Andre Drummond reminds him more of a tiger than a penguin. So are you team tiger or team penguin?
Why are those my options?
Well, so his nickname...
I mean, I know that the penguin... I know, like, Andre Drummond loves penguins.
Well, that's his nickname. It's the big penguin. Is like, you know...
But, like, you know, he loves Happy Feet. He loves the Happy Feet movies, yeah. And that's how he got the name. But where did the tiger part come from? Did I miss something?
So in yesterday's show, Harrison and I were talking about Andre Drummond, you know, and the big penguin... nickname and moniker and all of that, and Pete was like, see, I don't really get where the penguin thing is coming from. I see more tiger than penguin, and which led to Harrison absolutely roasting Pete, saying, hey, is that a contractual obligation as a Lakers employee?
I was about to say, that sounds like,
is it like a tiger tattoo, like on his arm kind of a thing? And so I'm kind of curious, like, if you had to choose, because they are two very different ends of the spectrum.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
where on that spectrum you find yourself, because I'm still very Team Penguin right now.
I mean, the correct technical answer is Tiger, because
really, you
know, tigers are, yeah, I mean, they prowl about, they're athletic, they're, you know, somewhat graceful, although I don't know if Andre Drummond is necessary, but a penguin on land is not a graceful animal. penguins are little, generally, they're not big. Andre Drummond is massive. Yeah, I'm gonna go tiger. I don't like he's not a tiger.
So you're looking for a different animal,
right? But
so,
those are the only two that you presented.
Well, that's because over the course of this conversation, I'm hoping at some point over the course of this conversation that you and I have over the next like half hour or so, that you just randomly blurt out an animal.
Yeah, I'm gonna be Googling animals while we do this.
That would be fantastic.
I'm very curious about this. Animals Andre Drummond looks like.
It's penguin. It's his shoulders. To me, I see it in his shoulders, how they just kind of slant directly.
Penguins don't have shoulders.
That's the thing. For a person as big as Andre Drummond is, he doesn't have like the Dwight Howard.
No, but giant, I mean, he's not shoulderless. I mean, come on. I mean, we can't all be Dwight, but like, I mean, I realize, you know, the Lakers fans have developed a very specific fetish around center body types over the last year, you know, based on last year's title. But like, Andre Drummond is not shoulderless. I'm sorry. I mean, I can't go with you. I cannot go down that path with you.
All right. Well, while you work on your Andre Drummond animal comp, I'm kind of curious where you stand on this Andre Drummond 30-minute report following him playing 14 minutes in the first half of his first game, which, had he not gotten hurt, would have led to Marc Gasol not playing at all, probably. I think correct. He was en route to a DNP CD. So Andre Drummond, 30 minutes a night for this Lakers roster makes you say what?
If he can play defense, I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Andre Drummond thing needs to be divided up into two sections. There's the before the stars come back, mm-hmm. and then after the stars come back. And I don't think they're the same thing. And I don't, you know, I think the, you know, Drummond as a 30 minute a night guy makes a lot more sense in that first part before AD is back, before LeBron is back. Once those guys return, then it gets a little more tricky. You are going to need to play AD at the five sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, you go small, you know, Drummond's going to be played off the floor in certain situations, you know, whether it's, you know, late games with free throws or whatever it might be. And so, you know, you're going to need to find minutes for Trez. You may need to find minutes for Gasol. They become less important, obviously, with LeBron back, with AD back, because his ball moving ability isn't quite as needed. But I don't think it's totally accidental that, you know, in the debut game for Drummond the other night, you know, when Gasol came in, they made a little run because the defense got better. Mm-hmm. And like the defense with Gasol on the floor this year has been quite good. And so if Drummond can give them something close to that, he can play a lot of minutes. If he can't, they're gonna have to figure out ways to compensate. And to some degree, that might be getting Gasol on the floor for whatever it is, 10 or 15 minutes a game.
Yeah, when the Lakers were heading down the path of Andre Drummond, I was taking it under the understanding of like, hey, this guy is going to kind of change his typical presence on the team, his presence in the rotation, the type of play that he participates in on the court out there. And he was going to do so in the name of winning, because he hadn't done so yet.
Right.
And bigs like him, you know, they'll get their one contract, and then if they don't kind of change the way that they approach the game, they're out of the league shortly after that first contract. And I'm kind of when the Lakers went down,
he's too
thing,
good for that though. I mean, is the, he though? You know, the days of Andre Drummond making really good 28 million.
But we've seen some really good bigs just kind of like go away. You know, none of his caliber, but I don't know how much of his caliber that we associate with just what he made at his peak earnings in Detroit. And I don't know that I associate earnings with abilities.
Well, I mean, it's obviously there's market. There's, you know, I mean, the game has made, the game has made Andre Drummond a, you know, 25 to 32 minute a night guy. It's hard. There aren't a lot of teams where he's going to play really big minutes. I mean, that part I think is probably true. And I think the days of him being a $25 million, 30, you know, that type of player 10 years ago, that's what Drummond would have gotten on the market. He's not going to get that now.
Yeah.
But I had this debate with Andy. Like, I think the league already knows what Drummond is as a player. The only thing that's missing is he the kind of guy who can be a really useful quality big on a winning team? And if he comes and kind of does what the Lakers want him to do, and that might be play 30 something minutes now, and then when LeBron and AD back, maybe that drops 20 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think he's going to do it. And if he doesn't, there's really not much opportunity cost there for the Lakers, because they weren't going to go out and get anybody better. Maybe a Gorgui Dieng or something like that, who would be happy to be a backup, can stretch the floor. And I know, I'm sure you've seen in a lot of analytics, you know, and analyst people types have pointed out that, you know, from a fit standpoint, he probably made more sense. And there's a lot of truth to that.
Yep.
But I don't, you know, Drummond, he's such a known quantity that I think he can help himself by being an important part of a winning team. But the Lakers don't have, the Lakers aren't beholden to him, because he's not going to end up in LA year unless he wants to, really, really wants to, and does it at an incredibly steep discount.
Yeah. Let's take a quick second here, because I want to pick up on that, because those were the circumstances that I thought the Lakers were adding him to the roster. And then the reports shortly thereafter were, no, they're slotting him out for 30 minutes a night, which doesn't really jive with the rest of the roster. It's a very deep roster. And if you're giving 30 minutes a night to Andre Drummond at center, and you know, Anthony Davis and the most important stretchers should probably be playing center, then Markieff Morris, Marcus Gasol, those guys are on the outside looking in of the rotation on a night by night basis. So I'm kind of curious where you see that math problem going. Today's show is brought to you in part by Sport Trade. Have you guys heard about Sport Trade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. This is amazing. Sport Trade takes fantasy to the next level. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. Making money with Sport Trade is as simple as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performances in each game compared to their projected fantasy sports in that game. The more points scored, the higher the value goes. Two, good old supply and demand, baby. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. So when you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle in your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sporttrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sporttrade.com. That's sporttrade.com, and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sporttrade.com. Today's show is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Head on over to rockauto.com, where you will visit a family business that has been doing this for over two decades now. And you are going to find the best collection of parts that you can possibly find on the internet. It is getting insane. The more high tech these cars get, the more difficult it is to find the proper part. And that makes it all the easier for the big companies to mark up all of the parts that you might need should anything go wrong with your car. Well, rockauto.com is here to help you avoid all of those kinds of messes as best you can. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil. Your car needs carpet? They have that too. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, and prices you prefer. And most importantly, the prices you see are going to be the same for everybody, regardless of your driving background. So again, head on over to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck, and then write "locked on" in their "how did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today in a daily podcast, breaking down the biggest news stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. It's relatively simple for me. I'm looking at Andre Drummond for 30 minutes a night at center. I need probably 10 minutes a night from Anthony Davis at center. In the postseason, more than that. And at that, after that, you're looking at 8 extra minutes of center minutes for Marc Gasol. Montrezl Harrell, by the way, who has played predominantly, actually solely center minutes this year.
Right. And I think that they've seemed to imply that they're going to, you know, whether it's next to Gasol, you know, let Trez play center on offense and essentially use Gasol as a perimeter power forward and flip-flop them defensively. Yeah. I mean, like, I think the hard Gasol's not going to play, and that's okay if Drummond plays defense, because if he doesn't and the defense suffers, Vogel's not going to play him 30 minutes a night. Like, we've seen this over and over and over again. Like, when people were freaking out that Trez wasn't playing enough, it was in part because defensively Frank Vogel always defaults to what gives me the best defensive lineup. Mm-hmm. That's always what he does. And unless that changes, I think Drummond is going to get the opportunity to play 30 minutes a night. And if it looks right and it works, then he'll keep playing 30. I mean, like, he's really good. You know, the guy's made 2 All-Star teams. He's one of these people who has been so bagged on in terms of what he is not good at, what his shortcomings are, that you do forget what he's really good at. You know, there are a few guys, Trez went through that, you know, where I think he's kind of undone that with his play recently, but you know, he's not perfect. You wouldn't want to build a team around him. You wouldn't want him to be your best player, but Drummond's really good. And you could do worse than having him on the floor for 30 minutes if, you know, a lot of those minutes come with AD and LeBron too. So I don't necessarily have a problem with it if the overall product doesn't suffer. I mean, Gasol signed for next year. If he's that upset by it, he can ask for a buyout and the Lakers can grant him one over the summer. They can trade him. They can do whatever they want. Trez isn't coming back next year, most likely. Another person they don't necessarily have to appease. I'm less worried about it because if he's playing 30 a night, probably means he's playing well.
Yeah. What do you think about the notion of promises here? Like, a day removed from JJ Redick talking about the promises that he was made in New Orleans and how perturbed he was being sent to Dallas and how much more difficult that makes it for him to go to see his family. Well, with Andre Drummond,
it is a longer drive.
It's a little longer, you know, it's a little further.
He wants to be able to drive home on weekends and see his kids like a divorcee.
Well, he could with the amount of money that he signed in New Orleans for, he could set aside a private jet and be able to go back at least once.
He's a man of means.
I would imagine he's doing all right in that regard. But like the notion of promises. So Andre Drummond, like you said, is a very talented player. I don't know that he's necessarily impactful. Like those are over the course of forever, for as long as I've been analyzing basketball, those are two very different things, talent
yes.
versus impact. But in terms of talent, he was the most talented player, far and away the most talented player that the Lakers or anybody had access to in this buyout market. And as such, I wonder if the Lakers had to make a couple promises to him in order to entice him to actually come to the Lakers. And if one of those promises is 30 minutes a night, almost regardless of the situation, I don't know that I would have been on board with bringing on Andre Drummond.
But do you think I get what you're saying, but like, is the promise like we will play you 30 minutes and I come hell or high water? Or is it, you know, you're going to get the opportunity to start at center while our guys are out. We really need you. Mm-hmm. We need you bad right now because, you know, our offense is really sputtering. We're really, you know, we're short on size, the kind of thing that you can provide. You know, we need a little offensive punch. Like, you're going to play a big role for us because it could be another 10 games before, LeBron and AD are back. It could be more. I don't know. If that's the promise of, you're going to get a great shot to do this and, be a huge part of a winning team, I don't have a problem with that. If it's, we don't care how bad you play. If you miss 10 rotations a game, if you drop back too far in your cover, whatever it is, you're still getting your 30 minutes. If they're beholden to that, yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine that's the deal. I mean,
that's a big point.
Yeah. And if Drummond comes and he's, when they get into the playoff stretch, like, do you really think a guy going into the situation that he's going to be in is going to make a lot of noise about how, he was lied to by the Lakers, this, that, whatever. And people look at his performance and say, well, yeah, but their numbers with you defensively were terrible. And I don't know if they will or they won't be, but if that's the case, he's not going to really have a PR leg to stand on. This is a team that has championship aspirations and he's Andre Drummond.
A lot of that still applies to JJ Redick, Harrison and Pete, if you guys are listening right now.
Right. You want to get traded to the team you want to get traded to, play better this year. Right. Like, that part of JJ Redick's problem this year is he's been terrible.
He was really, really bad.
Yes. It's, he makes, whatever, it's like $13 million. Like, these things can't happen automatically. But if you really, really want to be able to be traded to whatever team that you want to go to, play better.
Yeah. Maybe JJ Redick has been missing a big toenail this whole time.
It's possible. He's a career 41.5% three-point shooter. He shot 45% last year with the Pelicans. He's shooting 36%. JJ Redick at 36% is not a particularly useful player.
No.
I love JJ Redick, and I think he's a great podcaster. But mm-hmm. that is not a particularly useful player.
I agree about all of that. And if that promise was so important to you, you would have gotten in words in the contract literature. But the thing about the last thing I want to get to here on Drummond before we move on to the schedule in the third segment is Marcus Gasol didn't speak to reporters for two straight games. Mm-hmm. Only came in for the last 5 minutes because Drummond was hurt. Is starting this next game again because Drummond is hurt. And we have seen an unhappy Gasol. Like, we know what that looks like. And they are a saintly family. But also, just like Powell was when he was really upset, Mark is a really accomplished NBA player. And I'm sure he has expectations for the circumstance he is going to be put in. And he had those expectations when he came to the Lakers in the first place for a veteran's minimum. How much, like, if you had to weigh those two guys' opinions, which way would you lean in terms of trying to appease one versus the other as those minutes have to go one versus the other?
What about an elephant?
There it is.
They're very big, surprisingly agile. They run faster than you think, but they're not vertical.
Like,
it's not a vertical animal.
Can we say hippo? Because hippos get after it.
No, hippos are fast.
Yeah.
And you know, the most deadly animal on the planet. Like, hippos kill more humans than anything.
Yeah. I might be a hippo.
I think an elephant might be good. You know, the elephant will help you.
Elephants,
it's a mean pick. They set a great screen. Mm-hmm. They're not going to play above the rim. Andre Drummond is not an above the rim kind of player, but he is massive.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, it. a little bit surprisingly nimble. Drummond's a surprisingly good passer. Maybe that's a stretch. I don't know, but what about an elephant?
All right. You know what? I still prefer penguin because I like penguins more than I probably should. But elephant, like if you're just going for description of the way that he plays basketball, elephant makes a lot more sense than either penguin or tiger.
I love penguins. I'm just saying, but he's not a tiger.
What would even, like, would Raymond Felton be a penguin?
He's more penguin-like.
Right. Like, I'm saying, like, if somebody was to describe somebody with a nickname penguin, it wouldn't be Andre Drummond. It'd have to be
a little short, squatty fellow.
Sean May, you know, back in the day.
Plus, yeah, it would be somebody who really can't catch. Somebody who seems out of their element. Because, I mean, penguins can't catch. They don't have hands.
Yeah.
I mean, you tried catching things with flippers. It's not easy.
I have tried, you know.
What basketball player seems most out of their element while still being able to kind of capably get by? You know, penguins on land, it's not where they belong.
It's Kwame Brown. Like, it's, you know, he had
hands like flippers.
Let's take a quick second, and when we come back, we'll talk about the schedule. That was perfect. That was well executed. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you will save 20% off your next order. Not your first, your next. So however often you go to the website and you make a purchase, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to save 20% off. And you're saving 20% off on an incredible product. We've been working with these guys forever now, and it is the kind of partnership you're really proud of, not just because of the ability that we've been able to work together, but also because of how great the product itself is and how easy it is to sell. I've told my family about it, close friends back home, friends that I've made out here. I personally use it almost every day, basically. I would probably say I'm closer to every day than anything else, any other way you could describe this thing. It's great for me because I'm always on the go, always have some errand to run or something to ride or something like that. Avery got into some kind of trash or something, so I have to clean up and don't have enough time to eat a full meal. Built Bar has been great with that. I've lost weight since we've started working with them because it's a super healthy bar. Great flavors, great textures, just an all-around fantastic product. So one more time, head on over to builtbar.com. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to save 20% off your next order. BuiltBar.com, the best protein bar you'll ever eat. This show is brought to you in part by BetOnline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% deposit bonus. Today's bet of the day, the Lakers are playing in Sacramento against the Kings and are getting 4.5 points. Man, it's a sad day that the Lakers, the year after they win a championship, are the underdogs in any circumstance to the Sacramento Kings. And you know what? This is where I'm gonna plant my flag on Lakers Island on this one. They are +165 as a money line to win this one, and that's where I might potentially be losing my money. That's where I'm gonna put my money. I'm gonna put a couple doll hairs on the Lakers. In Sacramento, +165. Follow me or fade me if you want. Either way, you're a true Laker fan if you follow me. And so not either way, but you know what I mean. Whether you want to follow me or fade me on this one, or you want to find other action across the league, MLB is in full swing right now. Hockey obviously is still going. You have the Final Four coming up this weekend. BetOnline.ag is going to have all of that. So one more time, that is BetOnline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% deposit bonus. And whatever gambling that you do, please do so responsibly. Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA Draft with the Locked On NBA Draft podcast. scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft.
What about a giant clam? Largest bivalve.
The clam segment in the Finding Dory movie was actually hilarious.
My favorite bit in Finding Dory is Sigourney Weaver as the voice of the aquarium. It's so funny.
Dory saying, like, my friend Sigourney. It's so good.
Yeah, it's good for her for doing it. It is such a great bit.
Yeah. Sigourney actually is going to do, so you'll learn this. We have a running bit on Locked On Lakers where after Lakers losses, I have to offer up a killer whale fact. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that a new one or was that happening when they weren't making the playoffs? Because I don't think there are enough killer whale facts for that.
You'd be surprised for one. That was me taking offense to you brushing aside my favorite animal. And then it's a recent bit because they've been losing so much and there are so many games I just have no interest in analyzing.
There's nothing to analyze. That's part of the deal.
Well, like
you don't want to say those things out loud necessarily because it's like just encourages people not to listen. But there's nothing to analyze.
So if you look at the schedule ahead of them, there's a lot of Orca facts on the horizon, is what I'm saying. You have the Sacramento Kings, who the Lakers are going to play against without Andre Drummond. You have the Clippers, also potentially without Drummond. You have the Raptors, who have not been very good this year. And I think Drummond should be back by then. Then they go to Miami, Brooklyn, New York, and Charlotte. And then they come back home and they face Boston. If I was to tell you that after losses, I have to give up a Orca fact of the next 7 games, how many Orca facts do you think I need for the next?
I would say 6. I think, by the way, for the first like 45 seconds of the segment, I did not realize we were back to doing podcasts. But
oh, yeah.
Totally. I just thought we were just talking. So here's how I look at this. You know, as we all know, NBA, talent-based league.
Yeah.
The team with the best player has the best, generally often has the best chance of winning. Certainly if you have, you know, two of the best players on the floor, you always have a chance. That's why LeBron, any team that LeBron plays on is definitionally a playoff team. He's just that good. So, okay, who is the best, who's going to be the best player? Which team is going to have the best player when the Lakers play the Kings on Friday?
Sacramento.
Easy. It's, De'Aaron Fox, mm-hmm. Harrison Barnes right now is playing better probably than anybody on the Lakers. Maybe he's, equal, but De'Aaron Fox is the best player on the floor. Mm-hmm. Lakers, Clippers, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, the Raptors still have Siakam. Like every team they play, the other team is, for the next, until these guys are back, the other team's going to have the best player. And so they're not going to lose every game. The worst teams in the league win 20 something times a year, but I don't know which game I would pick them to win.
Well, but even there though, the worst teams in the league catch teams by surprise 20 times
right.
a year.
Exactly.
The Lakers aren't going to catch anybody by surprise over the next 7 games here.
Well, they will and they won't. I actually think they have a much better chance of beating Brooklyn, who mm-hmm. might not take him seriously that night, than they do the Kings. The Kings might just king it up on Friday. They might just do Kings things and lose, but they're not going to not take the Lakers seriously because they're missing all these people. And the Lakers already lost to the Kings without LeBron and AD. So we have like firsthand evidence that can happen. I don't know which game I would pick them to win. That's why the Orlando and the Cleveland games were so important. Is like those were the only games on the schedule where you look at it and go, the talent is kind of equal here. And in the case of the Orlando game, the Lakers actually had more of it, which is shocking.
Yeah.
But that's how I look at this stuff. Like they're in deep trouble that's a lot of Orcas. You're exactly right.
I'm prepared for those of you listening for all of the Orca facts. There's a ton to learn about this species. But The thing that I'm a little nervous about with these games that the Lakers are heading into is that I'm nervous that the Lakers have kind of come to grips with the team that they are without LeBron, without Anthony Davis. And even those good starts that they had, like just, you know, just recently against Milwaukee, they had that really good first quarter where they were up 30 to whatever it was.
Right. They didn't miss a three pointer.
Right. Right. But it was pretty clear at the beginning of the second quarter that the Lakers were like, oh yeah, here's reality, you know?
Yeah. They stopped making every three pointer.
Right. Well, on top of that, but they were waiting to stop making every three pointer.
Well, it's just, it's not a sustainable strategy. I mean, like the only reason they were in that game in the first quarter is because they did not miss three pointers. Like they made like their first six, I think it was.
Yeah.
That's not who they are. I mean, obviously, you know, you get a little bounce in your step, feel confident, but like the minute that stops, Milwaukee becomes better than you.
Exactly.
And it's not an indictment. Like
Giannis.
They work really hard. And by the way, Andy and I were talking about this. Their other Giannis is way better than our other Giannis. Like, it's really not even close.
Yeah.
They have a better other Giannis than we do.
Yeah, I would probably agree. I would probably wholeheartedly agree.
Are you still surprised? Are you surprised?
Who's the other Giannis?
The other brother. Like, each team has a brother. They have Thanasis.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like, okay.
And
okay.
We have Kostas. Theirs is better than ours. They're not Giannis guy. You know, their other Antetokounmpo is better than our Antetokounmpo. Are you surprised that they held on to him like once Giannis signed the extension?
Yes and no. Yes and no, because on one hand, he's useless to the Lakers, basically on the court. And in most seasons, the Lakers would have access to another two-way player from their own team that they could maybe go out and pick from. But then also, he shares an agent with Dennis Schroeder, who they're trying to extend. And I think that plays a role. But even there, you don't have to tamper with your own guy. So it's not like you have to convince, like, hey.
But do you really think Dennis Schroeder's agent is going to take him somewhere else because they didn't, you know, they let Kostas Antetokounmpo go after Giannis signed? He was tampering bait. Like, that's why they, that's why they had him, right?
I think if it was another year, like a lot of people point to the fact that Giannis signed his extension and all these other things. But I think in any other year where the Lakers have access to like the Lakers scouting department, which is, I think, probably the most efficient aspect of their organization, you know, mm-hmm. above personnel, they weren't involved with this last draft. And they did that. That was purely because of COVID. They couldn't bring anybody in to have a conversation with anybody. And so that player that they might have signed to that two-way deal didn't exist. So yeah, I think that played a bigger role than anything like Giannis or Schroeder related.
Yeah, that makes sense. But it's just, you know, there's a little bit of a surprising element that he's.
It is. It is. Because you see the guy play and you're like, what is he actually good at other than being Giannis's brother? All right.
Yeah, I mean, maybe one day, but not today is not that day.
he's 3 years away from being 2 years away. All right. Before we get out of here, how nervous should fans be about where the Lakers might be after this next 7-game road trip?
Pretty nervous.
You think?
I mean, there are 4 games. They finished Thursday, I want to say 4 games ahead of Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
There is a real chance. Dallas is playing pretty good. There's a real chance that they fall into that 7 seed. I don't know if they will, but it's possible. And then you start to, you know, you're now in the play-in tournament. And I think if they're 2 or 3 games away or a couple wins or whatever it might be from a 6 seed, once the stars come back, they'll probably play their way back out of the play-in tournament if they have 10 or 12 games to do it. I just don't know how many games they're going to have. Like, you know, they're down to how many? I'm bad at math. It's really not my thing. So but it's whatever, 20 something games left.
48 games. They have 72 left.
So that's 24, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if I put the over under for games that LeBron and AD will play together between now and the end of the season at 12, what are you taking?
Under. Well under. I was going to set it at like 8.5.
Right. So, you know, if you're two games behind the six with six games to play, eight games to play, you're probably going to finish as a seventh seed because they're not going to have a tie. The other thing is too, they're not going to have tiebreakers on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not going to help them when it comes time to figure this stuff out. And, you know, they still probably escape the play in, but like, you don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Weird things can happen, you know, stuff that can tip one game that wouldn't tip a series. So yeah, I think it is 100% legitimate to be concerned about where they could finish. I don't think it matters if they finish anywhere 1 through 6, but 7 is a big deal.
This is the first time I would agree with you with that point of view all season, that I have been the most kind of steadfast in terms of, well, the math, like the teams behind them aren't playing that much better than they are. But you look at, so the Lakers are at the 4 spot. At the 5 spot, Denver is 8-2 in their last 10.
Portland, there's a 0% chance that Denver doesn't pass them.
Right, right. Denver
beat the Clippers on Thursday.
Aaron Gordon is a perfect pickup for them. Portland, 7-3 in their last 10. Dallas
just traded for Robert Covington.
What's that?
Just traded for Robert Covington in my fantasy league.
You did.
Yeah. Apropos of nothing in particular.
What'd you give up? I haven't played keeper. Jordan Clarkson won like multiple years.
Yeah, Jordan Clarkson is a 10th round keeper next year. So I need Covington gives me just as many threes and I get his defensive stats, which he's low key averaging like 2 blocks a game. Let's give it up for Robert Covington.
That's impressive.
It is.
Rocco.
So, you know, Dallas, you just mentioned Dallas. They've won 6 of 10.
Right.
They're now 25-21.
But all you need is the 2 spots below the Lakers. Like then they're at the 6th spot, and
but the 6 doesn't worry me. The 6 is fine.
Well, what I mean though is that like you're looking at if the Lakers wind up at the 6th spot, and Dallas, who I'm curious to see what they look like moving forward because they've bought back into just offense. Mm-hmm. Like that's the direction. That's all they really care about at this point. And last year in the regular season, that was really effective. So the 6-4 that Dallas has been in the last 10 games might actually be underselling what they're capable of moving forward in regular season play. And so if the Lakers do not pick it up, and if it does take longer for Anthony Davis to return than the, you know, next couple weeks, and if LeBron is closer to the 6-week stretch than the 4-week stretch, then you really start to get nervous about not just, by the way, seeding, but how many reps the Lakers get together before they head into the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are down there at the 7th spot, you're going in immediately against the 2 team. Like even if you win that play-in game, you're going in immediately against the second best team in the conference, which if I had to put money on it, will probably be the Denver Nuggets. And I don't know if I want to face them.
I don't know. I'm not sure Phoenix drops out of that. They've played so well. I think there are two things here. It's one is the, are you in the play-in game or are you not? But also too, like you can't just assume that you snap your fingers and the Lakers are back to what they need to be.
Yeah.
Have 6 or 7 or 8 games before the playoffs. Like that's not necessarily gonna be enough. Like this hurts them a lot in terms of like how well you're playing going into the playoffs against a team like Denver or Phoenix or Utah. Like, you know, the Clippers have been kind of low-key unimpressive over the last, you know, couple weeks. That's like the 11th time I've said low key
I'd say more high key because they just lost the national TV game, but we're just using children's lingo at this point.
People are watching. Mm-hmm. Like people say disgruntled. Nobody ever says gruntled. I like that's a real thing. Like I'm less worried about who they might play in the first round. Like obviously you want an easier opponent if you can get it. I just don't know how much time they're going to have to really be playing at that peak level. And then you're just really relying on LeBron and AD being incredibly good. At some point, the amount of stuff that starts to pile up that chips away at the margin of error that they built up going into the season erodes. Mm-hmm. And this stuff that they're going through right now is significant for that.
Yep. So that's why Andre Drummond's toenail mattered, for those of you.
It does.
Who weren't as nervous about it. All right. That's going to do it for this episode and this week's episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. I know you guys are waiting patiently or impatiently based on my mentions for what's coming next in terms of co-hosts here on the show. We have more to come on that front. I talked to LeBron today and he wasn't really interested in doing it. That was kind of a kick in the balls. That was, Kanye says he's kind of busy as well.
He's not doing Harrison's pod, is he?
That's the thing is that, you know, it was a bidding war between me and Harrison, and Harrison had a similar hairline to offer up, and LeBron was more comfortable in that regard.
With jerk.
but yeah, I promise as soon as we get more clarity on that, you guys will know it, even if it means an emergency Locked On Now kind of a video or whatever it is, to be able to tell you guys about it. So tune in. You can follow me on Twitter for at Anthony Runnelay for that stuff. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. You can follow Brian and Andy Kamenetsky on there on Twitter at Cam Brothers. For whatever announcements about which animals randomly that those guys think that Andre Drummond might be. We'll carry you guys through this next era of what the show is going to look like. Please be safe out there. Please, if you are able to, go out there and get your shot. I just got my shot today. My arm is now officially sore. I'm exhausted. It's worth it. I can't. It means I'm like that. I'm a few weeks away potentially from being able to go home. So I'm really excited about that. So have a great rest of your day, everybody. Make somebody else's. And we'll talk to you on.